Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is terrific Tuesday, August 11, 2015. Another great day to be alive. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho. Excited to be on the line with you. Excited to be on the Think and Grow Rich call. Pumped up to be learning and growing and just learning powerful information that can affect what's on the inside and cause us to take what's on the inside and translate it into the outside world and just create much more beautiful futures, create much more wealth, much more prosperity, much more light, much more abundance. It's a beautiful thing we're doing on this call, my friends, and I'm excited you're here. So real quick, are you excited to be here? Are you excited about your more prosperous future? Are you excited today to learn something that can have a deep impact on how your life works out? If you are, I want to hear you scream into the phone as I unmute the lines right now. I love it. I heard people screaming, "I'm glad to be alive," and all sorts of cool stuff. So thank you guys for that. And hey, hopefully you can hear me okay. I had my phone went down last night, and so I'm dialing in through Skype. So hopefully the audio is okay. We're going to roll with it. So, hey guys, real quick, before we get too far into the content for today and the masterminding for today, I wanted to share a couple of things. First, you know, Adele Roberts, she's been a member of our Think and Grow Rich community for quite some time. And I think it was about a year or so ago, we talked about the 30-30-30 plan. And this is something that, you know, we kind of learn through the books that we study that it's a good thing to invest 30 minutes a day connecting with Source is what Adele calls it. And that could be either, you know, meditation, prayer, just visualizing your future, going to your definite purpose. So 30 minutes a day doing that, 30 minutes reading from a great book, and 30 minutes listening to an audio. And Adele, every single day for over a year, has been reminding us about that in the Facebook group. And I just wanted to give Adele a note of appreciation, a note of gratitude, recognize her persistence for reminding us all of that important step. And Adele, we appreciate you. You're such a valuable part of our community, and I just wanted to let you know that. And the other thing that I wanted to share with you guys is one of the reasons that I love being a part of this call, and I love being a part of this community, and I love being a part of what we do together as a family, as a Think and Grow Rich family on this call every day, is I get to receive Facebook messages from time to time, just random messages from people that I have never met who will send me these testimonials of how this call and how the people on this call and how we together have impacted their lives. And I got one yesterday, and I want to share just a part of it with you guys. This comes from a gentleman named Richard Contreras. And out of the blue, Richard says, "Hi, Paul. My name is Richard Contreras. I've been on the Think and Grow Rich call for the last 2 months now. It's changed my life." And then he continues on and says, "See you on the call tomorrow. Thank you for your time." And then I wrote him back, and then he wrote me back. He says, "Thanks, Paul, for such a quick response. Paul, you don't know how much the call has helped my wife and I. There are some amazing people on this call. We love each and every one of them. Feels good to wake up each day knowing there's friends that lift each other up. a place where we study together the principles and laws of success. So, Richard, we're glad you're here, and thank you for sharing that. And it's just a reminder, guys, that what we do together on this call, it matters, right? Helping people learn to transform their thinking, including ourselves, because by participating and engaging in this call, not only are we helping the people around us, but you guys realize that every single day we are auto-suggesting our minds, we're auto-suggesting our hearts, we're auto-suggesting our souls into more prosperous, more wealthy-minded, more abundant-minded, more positive-minded people. So it's just the coolest thing ever, and I wanted to share that with you guys. Richard, thanks so much for that message. Now, what I want to do next is get into, actually, we better go through our definite major purpose self-confidence formula. So let's do that. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the line 1 second. Who has that ready for us? Star 6 and come on. Oh, actually, Alexander Claremont from Canada has already volunteered. Alexander, are you there? Are you here? Star 6, come on out if you are, sir.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, man?
It's good, man.
It's good to hear you.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Awesome.
All right, so I just go?
Yeah, just go, man.
Okay. Hold on. All right, my major definite purpose. So I don't say anything, like, I don't say the goals, right?
You can if you want. I like to leave the numbers blank just so, you know, because everyone's got different numbers, but it's up to you.
Okay. All right. By the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I'm awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action, and gradually transform themselves into my physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. I know through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. I have clearly written down the description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of the people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity. Because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, committed to memory, and repeat it out every day with full faith, that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. All right.
All right, man. Hey, awesome job, Alexander. Now, do you go by Alexander or Alex? I think I've asked you that before. I apologize.
Yeah, Alex is fine.
Alex. Okay, cool. Alex, you did an amazing job. And hey, guys, everyone on the call, as Alex was leading us through that, I remembered something about Alex that is really exciting, and that is Alex is a free man. He decided that he was going to build a business from home, and so he started building a business from home. He started earning money, started earning more money, and now he makes enough money that he doesn't have to have a job, and he does this full-time. Guys, real quick, are you excited that Alex is a free man? Are you excited for the example he set? Are you excited to know that if he can do it, so can you? And if you are, let's let Alex know how cool he is and how much we believe in him, as I am. And the crowd goes wild for Alex Claremont. Alex, we're so excited for you, man. Keep up the great work, and thank you for your example. Because, guys, do you know that every time one of us makes a decision to be a little bit more powerful on the inside, every time one of us makes a decision to reach down inside and find something that we didn't know we had, every time one of us makes a decision to put on a smile, every time one of us makes a decision to be our authentic selves and to be the most powerful version of ourselves, we inspire the people around us to do the same. You guys know that? So, like, I look at this freedom journey that we're all on, and, you know, it starts out as just making enough money to support ourselves. It starts out as just making enough money to, you know, take care of our families. But it turns into something bigger. It turns into, like, this mission and this crusade to be an example of what's possible in the world so that we can be an inspiration to other people so that they can reach down inside and say, yes, I can go for my dreams. Yes, I can do great things. Yes, I can win my freedom because I saw someone like Alex Claremont make a similar decision. You know what? If he can do it, I can do it. So it's just a beautiful thing we're doing, guys, and I appreciate you all for that. So we're going to jump into our content for today. But before we do, I have a quick thought to share. But just to, in case you're getting ready, we are in chapter 13 of The Science of Getting Rich. It's called Getting Into the Right Business. That's our scheduled content. Every day on this call, we go through scheduled content. And the reason we do that is because there are certain laws, there are certain beliefs that I believe are fundamental to going into success in life. And so on this call, the idea is that we can cycle through these principles over and over and over again, and there's enough of them that it doesn't get redundant, and fortunately, none of us is perfect, so hearing them again and again and again is actually pretty valuable for us because we learn them on a deeper level, and we just learn new things as we continue to do that. But the point is, we have this scheduled content because we want any new person to be able to come to this call and make a decision to stay on this call, and as they do make that decision, they can know that if they'll just stay on the call long enough, they'll eventually learn all the laws, all the principles, all the beliefs that go into formulating a wealthy, prosperous, abundant mindset. And so that's why we cycle through some of the same information that we cycle through. So today, our scheduled content is chapter 13 of The Science of Getting Rich. It's called Getting Into the Right Business, and we're going to get to that. If you're new to our call, you can download that on our website in the free download section at growrichaudios.com. But before we get into that, I wanted to share just another principle of wealth building, another principle of freedom for us to meditate on. You know, this last week I mentioned I was at an event down in Las Vegas, Nevada, and my wife and I drove down to the event. We decided we were going to take a road trip and, you know, listen to some music and just see the sights and have a good trip. So we drove down there. We went to the event, and then we were driving home, and we stopped at a thrift store. I think I mentioned this yesterday or the day before. We stopped at a thrift store to just kind of see what we could find. And one of the things that my wife found is she found an audio recording of the book Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And so on the way back, we plug in this CD and we're listening to Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And one of the things that blew me away is the fact that I have read that book at least three times, I think. At least three times I've read that book. And as I listened to the audio recording, I was like, this is like a brand new book. I don't remember hearing this story or that story. I don't remember hearing that insight. I don't remember hearing that lesson. So it kind of blew me away that you can listen to something or read something several times and still get something out of it. So, but anyway, that's not the point. The point is, one of the lessons that has impacted my life tremendously from the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, and it also coincides with principle or law of success number three, as we learned from Dr. Napoleon Hill, which we just finished studying. It's a big, long, you know, 1,300-page book or something. Law of success number three is called savings, getting into the habit of savings. And we all hear that we should save money. People tell us we should save money. But for whatever strange reason, the vast majority of people do not save money. And so we've got to learn how to kind of correct that. So this principle of savings, I was thinking about that because it's a law. Dr. Hill says it's a law. If you want to be successful, you have to get in the habit of saving a portion of your income. You know, there's this new book called Money by Anthony Robbins. You know, 2015, latest and greatest advice for wealth accumulation. And you know what he says? He says, the most important thing you can do is save money. Set aside a certain percent of your income that you can save so that you can do what Robert Kiyosaki talks about in that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And what does he talk about? He says, wealthy people buy assets. They don't buy liabilities. And then he goes on to define what an asset is. He says, an asset is something that puts money in your pocket. A liability is something that takes money out of your pocket. And he challenges conventional thinking in that book. A lot of people will say, well, my house is an asset. And Robert Kiyosaki says, well, does your house put money in your pocket or does your house take money out of your pocket? And if you think about it, for most of us, the homes that we live in take money out of our pocket. They cost money to maintain. They cost money to, you know, if you've got a mortgage, you've got to pay the interest on that mortgage. So for most people, now there are exceptions to this rule, but for most people, your home is not an asset according to the way Robert Kiyosaki defines it, because it takes money out of your pocket versus putting money into your pocket. In fact, when I was listening to this audio, he says, most people will tell you that your house is your greatest asset. And he said, listen, if your house, the home you live in, is your greatest asset, you're in trouble. That's what he said. He says, because your assets are supposed to be putting money in your pocket. So I just made this connection between law of success number three, which is saving money. And I was like, well, why do we save money? It's not so we can have this big pile of cash in the savings account. It's so that we can take those savings and buy assets so that those assets can put money in our pockets versus taking money out of our pockets. And why do we want to do that? It's because we want to be free, don't we? At some point in life, we want to have the ability to not have to work if we don't want to. We want to have the ability to do things we want to do that might include not working. And so if we want to get to that position in life, we have to learn this fundamental lesson of saving money, number one, and then number two, taking that money we are saving and buying assets. And the cool thing about assets, guys, is that it doesn't take a lot of money to buy assets. We might look at assets and be like, well, gosh, you know, we've got to save hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to buy real estate, or we've got to save hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to buy businesses. And the truth is, that's not true. We can buy assets that don't cost very much money, clear down from when you're a little kid. Just the other day, we were at a restaurant. I was having dinner with my family, and my 9-year-old son pointed over to the arcade game, and he said, Dad, wouldn't that be cool if you owned that arcade game and people, when they used it, it was giving you money? And I was like, yeah. And what would that be an example of, Caden? And he said, well, and he was thinking about it. And I says, well, what did Jack and the Beanstalk steal from the giant when he climbed up to the top of the vine? And he thought, and he's like, well, gold. Yeah. What else, Caden? And he thought, and he thought, and he thought, and he couldn't come up with it. So I finally says, well, wasn't it a goose that lays a golden egg? And he's like, yeah. And I said, that arcade is an example of a goose that lays a golden egg for somebody. It's an asset, right? And you can buy a little arcade game for, I don't know, $1,000, maybe $500. If you find a good deal, maybe a couple $1,000. And you can have a goose that lays a golden egg. My first asset that I bought clear back in like 2009, before I had any success in my business, I was just saving money for my job. We bought a single wide trailer house to rent out. I was living in a single wide trailer house at the time. So if you could imagine a guy living in a single wide trailer house and then buying one to rent out, it's kind of like Jim Rohn says. He says, kids should have two bikes, one to ride and one to rent. Well, I had two single wide trailer houses, one to live in and one to rent out. And I remember investing $10,000 for the single wide trailer house. And that thing paid me cash flow of like $550 or $600 a month for the first few years of my marriage. So we don't have to have a ton of money to buy assets, but we do have to have some. So I just wanted to remind everyone, I know it's probably a reminder for a lot of people, but it's a crucial wealth building principle to save money and buy assets. And that's one of the big things we want to do as we continue to generate even more money and more freedom in whatever business endeavors we're currently engaged in. So with that, guys, let's get into our study for today. We're in chapter 13, as I mentioned, getting into the right business. And let's see what Mr. Wallace Waddles has to teach us here this morning. He says, success in any particular business depends for one thing upon your possessing in a well-developed state the faculties required in that business. Without good musical faculty, no one can succeed as a teacher of music. Without well-developed mechanical faculties, no one can achieve great success in any of the mechanical trades. Without tact and the commercial faculties, no one can succeed in mercantile pursuits. But to possess in a well-developed state the faculties required in your particular vocation does not ensure getting rich. There are musicians who have remarkable talent and who yet remain poor. There are blacksmiths, carpenters, and so on who have excellent mechanical ability but who do not get rich. And there are merchants with good faculties for dealing with people who nevertheless fail. The different faculties are tools. It is essential to have good tools, but it is also essential that the tools should be used in the right way. One man can take a sharp saw, a square, a good plane, and so on, and build a handsome article of furniture. Another man can take the same tools and set to work to duplicate the article, but his production will be a botch. He does not know how to use good tools in a successful way. The various faculties of your mind are the tools with which you must do the work which is to make you rich. So it will be easier for you to succeed if you get into a business for which you are well equipped with mental tools. Generally speaking, you will do best in that business which will use your strongest faculties, the one for which you are naturally best fitted. But there are limitations to this statement also. No one should regard his vocation as being irrevocably fixed by the tendencies with which he was born. You can get rich in any business, for if you have not the right talent, you can develop that talent. It merely means that you will have to make your tools as you go along, instead of confining yourself to the use of those with which you were born. It will be easier for you to succeed in a vocation for which you already have the talents in a well-developed state. But you can succeed in any vocation, for you can develop any rudimentary talent, and there is no talent of which you have not at least the rudiment. You will get rich most easily in terms of effort if you do that for which you are best fitted, but you will get rich most satisfactorily if you do that which you want to do. Doing what you want to do is life, and there is no real satisfaction in living if we are compelled to be forever doing something which we do not like to do and can never do what we want to do. And it is certain that you can do what you want to do. The desire to do it is proof that you have within you the power with which you can do it. Desire is a manifestation of power. The desire to play music is the power with which the desire to play music is the power which can play music, seeking expression and development. The desire to invent mechanical devices is the mechanical talent seeking expression and development. Where there is no power, either developed or undeveloped, to do a thing, there is never any desire to do that thing. And where there is strong desire to do a thing, it is certain proof that the power to do it is strong and only requires to be developed and applied in the right way. All other things being equal, it is best to select a business for which you have the best developed talent. But if you have a strong desire to engage in any particular line of work, you should select that work as the ultimate end at which you can aim. You can do what you want to do, and it is your right and privilege to follow the business or avocation which will be most congenial and pleasant. You are not obliged to do what you do not like to do and should not do it except as a means to bring you to the doing of the thing you want to do. If there are past mistakes whose consequences have placed you in an undesirable business or environment, you may be obliged for some time to do what you do not like to do, but you can make the doing of it pleasant by knowing that it is making it possible for you to come to the doing of what you want to do. If you feel that you are not in the right vocation, do not act too hastily in trying to get into another one. The best way, generally, to change business or environment is by growth. Do not be afraid to make a sudden and radical change if the opportunity is presented and you feel, after careful consideration, that it is the right opportunity, but never take sudden or radical action when you are in doubt as to the wisdom of doing so. There is never any hurry on the creative plane, and there is no lack of opportunity. When you get out of the competitive mind, you will understand that you never need to act hastily. No one else is going to beat you to the thing you want to do. There is enough for all. If one space is taken, another and a better one will be opened for you a little farther on. There is plenty of time. When you are in doubt, wait. Fall back on the contemplation of your vision and increase your faith and purpose. And by all means, in times of doubt and indecision, cultivate gratitude. A day or two spent in contemplating the vision of what you want and in earnest thanksgiving that you are getting it will bring your mind into such a close relationship with the Supreme that you will make no mistake when you do act. There is a mind which knows all there is to know, and you can come into close unity with this mind by faith and the purpose to advance in life if you have deep gratitude. Mistakes come from acting hastily or from acting in fear or doubt or in forgetfulness of the right motive, which is more life to all and less to none. As you go on in a certain way, opportunities will come to you in increasing number, and you will need to be very steady in your faith and purpose and to keep in close touch with the Supreme Mind by reverent gratitude. Do all that you can do in a perfect manner every day, but do it without haste, worry, or fear. Go as fast as you can, but never hurry. Remember that in the moment you begin to hurry, you cease to be a creator and become a competitor. You drop back upon the old plane again. Whenever you find yourself hurrying, call a halt. Fix your attention on the mental image of the thing you want and begin to give thanks that you are getting it. The exercise of gratitude will never fail to strengthen your faith and renew your purpose. And there, my friends, we have chapter 13. I want to go back to one thing Wallace Waddle said and share a thought just to kind of kick off the mastermind portion, then we'll open up the lines. I love how Wallace Waddle talks about how desire is a manifestation of power. He said the desire to play music is the power which can play seeking can play music seeking expression. And I want to connect that thought with something I mentioned yesterday. It's a thought that I picked up from one of my mentors. And he said, I was on a hangout with him, and he said, I believe that the universe has sort of a divine order to it. And he went on to say, what I mean by that is I believe that each of us, at birth maybe, is planted with the seed of a dream, planted with the seed of something we're supposed to do in life, planted with the seed of our definite purpose. You know, we talk a lot about definite purpose on this call because it's law of success number one. And sometimes, you know, we think, well, what should my definite purpose be? Almost like it's something that, you know, we have to select. Well, I wonder, I'm just posing this question to the group. I wonder if our definite purpose is something to be uncovered, is something that is already inside of our hearts, and something that we just sort of have to like let out and let it come out into the world and embrace it and then begin to live it fully. What if that's the case? I don't know for sure, but it just seemed when my mentor said that the universe has a divine order to it and that each of us have this purpose planted in our heart. And when we live according to that purpose, we're happy. And when we don't, we're not as happy as we could be. It just, that really resonated with me. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe that's true. It sure seems to be true as I think back over my life and, you know, where I'm at today and the things that I do, you know, like getting on this call every day. We've been doing this call, guys, for over 5 years now, every day, Monday through Friday. And are there some monetary benefits to doing this call? Yeah, you know, there are a few. You know, we got this little audio site that was developed because people wanted it. Like, I kept getting all these messages. They're like, Paul, is there a place where all these audios are archived? I was like, no, there's not. And I started archiving them on my personal blog. And then I realized that we had people from so many different companies coming on the call that wouldn't be a good place. So we made this little website, and it's like 10 bucks a month, and you can have access to all of the calls we've ever done. And, like, we never promote it. It's just, you know, it's on our website. And so there's a little bit of it, but, I mean, not much. It's like such a small percentage of my total income that, like, to do this call every day for the income I get from that literally would not make sense. It would not make sense. So in any case, the point I'm trying to make is why? Why do I do this call? Why do we get on this call every day? Well, for me, guys, it's because it's part of my purpose in life. For some reason, I have this desire to help myself and other people transform. I have this desire to help people see better things in the future. I have this desire to uncover truth, principles, laws, live according to them myself, and also do the best that I can to help other people uncover those truths, principles, and laws and live according to them so that we can all have more in life. And I don't think that was something that I gave myself. It just seems like it's in my heart. It's something I'm supposed to do. So that leads me to believe that what Wallace Waddle says, that desire inside of us is proof. It's manifestation. It's proof that we have the ability to do what we set out to do. And not always do we have the ability to do it right off the bat. Because I think back when I first got in the home business profession, and you know what? I did not have the tools. I did not have the talent. All I had was the desire. That's it, literally. I just had the desire to be free myself and help other people be free. That's it. But you know what? I developed some of the skills and the tools and the resources over time. That desire translated into skill. And I'm still getting better. I've got a lot of room to grow. But it's just I think it's a great story, right? I think it's proof of what Wallace Waddles is talking about here. So those are my thoughts. That's what came up for me as we went through this read. I'm excited to hear yours. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are a part of our community. And brevity and relevance, always appreciated in your comments. One moment. I'm going to unmute the lines here.
Hey, Paul, Larry Coates.
Hey, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, family. You know, as we were reading this morning, right in the sort of in the very beginning, he says, it is certain that you can do whatever you want to do. The desire to do it is proof that you have within you the power which you can do, that you can do it. Then just a page later, he says, let me see, I just lost a spot here. That where there is no power, either developed or undeveloped, to do a thing, there is never any desire to do that thing. And where there is a strong desire to do a thing, it is certain proof that the power to do is is strong and only requires to be developed and applied in the right way. When we were reading that, I kept thinking about, was it Albert Hubbard that had no way to get to where Edison was, had no hope of working for him, but he had the strong desire to work for him, as I recall from reading, I think, both in The Law of Success and in Think and Grow Rich. And yet, he found a way to get there. He found a way to convince Edison that he should work for him, and ended up taking over the dictaphone business and running that, and became a multimillionaire. And it's all because he had the desire and the vision to do that. And I kept thinking of that exact story as we were reading this. So back to you, Paul.
Such a great story, Larry. Absolutely. It was Edwin C. Barnes, I think, was the guy.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes, that's right.
Yep.
Yes, yes, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, great thoughts. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. Star 6 is next. Come on out. Questions.
Hello?
Hey, who's that?
Good morning. This is Chris Camp. How you doing, everybody?
Hey, Chris. We're awesome. How about yourself?
Great. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for the call today. Loving them all, and it was really nice last week as well. Thank you very much, Paul.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking about, let's see, success here. I lost my thought here. I lost my train of thought.
Happens to me all the time.
yeah, I apologize.
No worries.
Yeah. No, it's not coming back to me this second.
Okay.
I'll come back in a second if I remember.
Sounds good, Chris.
Okay,
appreciate it.
Yeah, I apologize. Thanks.
No worries at all. Star 6 is next. Come on out.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
It's Veronica in New York.
You're so awesome. How you doing, Veronica?
How are you?
Doing good, thanks.
That's great. This has put me in some deep thought about, well, what do I know that I can package in a way that I can sell it like a arcade machine? You know, like what is my arcade machine? You know, what thing do I have that I can package that people can just come along and say, oh, I want that, and then just buy it. And I don't have to keep making it over and over again, or I don't have to make it custom to order. So that's probably why I didn't jump out first, because this really set the wheels turning, because everybody has something. And then I was also thinking, well, how could I get a vending machine? An arcade or something, you know, like every time I read with you all in the morning, I'm like, well, how can I apply that? You know, so and it doesn't always pan out, but I can't help but think that there's some benefit to that thought coming up and my thoughts being in that direction. I just wanted to share that.
Those are such great questions, Veronica. Thank you for sharing that.
Hey, Paul, Lisa Scott.
Hey, what's going on, Lisa Scott?
It is a beautiful day, Paul Hutchings. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
I love the fact that that thought was brought to your mind, you know, by your mentor in terms of the uncovering of what we already have within us. That we could, you know, potentially package and put out there into the world, because that's exactly what I did. Because there was a time in my life that I was going through some struggles where I was blessed to come to a place where I was able to zoom in on the fact that my thoughts were keeping me in a specific place. And so I said, okay, well, if the thoughts that I had up to this point are what got me here, then I'm able to reassess those thoughts and introduce a new thought in order to move forward in my life. And ultimately, I came across something called coaching, you know, and I said, oh my goodness, you know, I could do this. And I jumped out there and I did it. But what it is that I do is not separate from me. It is what I'm passionate about, because I understood that if I could do it for myself, then I could teach others to do it as well. So I love the fact that you talked about this uncovering, because as far as I'm concerned, it's the only thing we're here to understand, is what it is that we are here to do, that we already have within ourselves, that isn't separate from ourselves. It's already sitting there. It's just that we need to give ourselves the time and be patient, like Wallace Waddles was talking about. There's no rush. You know, every day is going to go by anyway. We have 24 hours in a day. This time is going to go by anyway. So why not utilize a portion of that time investigating yourself, investigating what is it that my heart is telling me to do that is not separate from me, but it's already a part of me, and then you can do it easily. There's really not too much effort to this, except learning the skills of, you know, marketing and advertising and that sort of thing, but there's not any effort to the work that you do when you're doing it, because it's a part of you. So just wanted to share that. Back to you, Paul.
Beautiful thoughts, Lisa. Thank you for your example. And, you know, you reminded me, Napoleon Hill said that one of the greatest tragedies in life is people going all throughout their lives without doing something that they don't love, right? And so it's so cool that you know what you love doing and you get paid to do that. Such a great thing. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, this is Chris from Michigan.
Hey, Paul,
same in Vegas. I think I got Chris and then Amy. Was that right, Chris?
It's Clint.
Oh, Clint. Hey, good morning, Clint.
Hey, Clint from Michigan. I had a great time in Vegas. What stood out for me on this particular reading was desire is possibility seeking expression. It is the kinetic energy that's stored up inside us that's waiting to be expressed. And we owe it to ourselves and to others to make sure that we express that desire in a good and positive and helpful way, so that we can help others release their own desire too. And with that, I'll leave you.
I believe that, Clint. Great thought. Thank you. Amy in Vegas. How are you?
Hey, Paul. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So good to hear your voice.
Yours too. And good morning, family. You know what? I was thinking about the part where Wallace Waddles says, desire is a manifestation of power. I posted this video the other day that I watched of Helen Keller, and I can't remember the other lady's name. It was something Sullivan, I believe. But anyway, she was showing how Helen Keller learned to speak her first word. And it was like she placed her hand on the lady's face, in her fingers in certain places, like around her jaw and on her nose and her lip and all that. And her first word that she learned to say was it. And anyway, I mean, I just thought that was a great example of somebody who had a burning desire to be able to speak and to hear and, you know, all those things. And she had everything going against her. And here she went and she, you know, learned how to do all of these things. And it was because she had that burning desire. And so that's just of how important it is for us to have that major definite purpose, for us to have that desire, for us to sit down with ourselves and take the time to listen and figure out what we really want to do, what really, you know, gets our motor going. You know, I thought that was a great example of that. And I just wanted to share that with you guys this morning.
Oh, such a great example. Thank you, Anna.
Well, good morning, my friend.
Oh,
how are you?
Is that Rick Martin? Holy smokes, man. It's good to hear you.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic to hear you and everyone on the call. Yes, Amy, that lady was Annie Sullivan. And, yes, you know, I wanted to make a footnote. You know, I've been listening to, and I continue to listen to the rear recordings of Napoleon Hill. And as you were talking about greatest assets, I kept reminded of what Napoleon Hill kept saying in that recording, that what he believed to be our greatest asset is our mind, and that the greatest sin of mankind is not using that asset and directing it to a major purpose, a major definite purpose in life. And that really resonated with me this morning. And it's incredible to, it brought an incredible smile within, because, you know, when you're listening to the talk with, what's the gentleman with, that has that 30-minute talk, you spoke about him a few days ago, man, it slips me, when he speak about the gentleman in Arizona, you know, driving that big tractor.
Earl Nightingale.
Trailer. Earl Nightingale. And, you know, and when you're talking about your mind, your greatest asset, and that when you think about that, the power of thought that created the universe, it's so incredible to me, because I just get this enormous feeling of power within me. And that when I take the time to think about what I want, think about what I would like to do and what I could create in my mind, it just feels so powerful. And I really wanted to reiterate that. And so, you know, just gathering every single day and listening to different ideas from people, it's so wonderful, man. And I really appreciate it that you began this call, you started this call, and just see this call develop and grow into what it is today. So, Mr. Hutchins, with that, back to you, and have a day filled with opulence.
It's an incredible thought, Mr. Rick Martin, and it's so good to hear your voice. Thank you for sharing.
Hey, Paul.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, man? This is Austin Tools on the call. I just want to say that this is a true mastermind, for real. I just noticed that, I mean, I've had some ideas running through my mind over the last few minutes since we started the mastermind portion. And it's funny because I kept trying to jump out and people were jumping out before me, but everybody was saying basically everything that I was thinking, like just building on all the thoughts that was coming to me. And what I've been thinking is, just to reiterate what everybody is saying, is that, like, I have been listening to the Napoleon Hill recordings as well, and he was saying about how the greatest asset that we have is the ability to direct our mind power towards a definite major purpose in life. And he was also saying how we have the equivalent to two sealed envelopes, one labeled the riches that we have in life if we take possession of our minds, the other is the penalties we must face if we don't take possession of our minds. And one of those riches of life was that we have a labor of love. And that ties into exactly what we're talking about as far as finding a vocation of life, finding the right business to be in. And I was just thinking about how I was also thinking about how you said assets, a saving so that you can invest in assets. And I was thinking about how every day when we get on a Think and Grow Rich call, or when we engage in personal development, what we're really doing is we're saving our ability, or we're saving our mind power and directing it into investing into ourselves so that we can become our greatest asset. And then, like somebody else said on the call, then we can package that ourselves and then use that to market our services in the marketplace. So that's my idea. It's kind of basically what everybody else is saying.
Oh, man. Those are powerful thoughts, Austin. Powerful thoughts. Appreciate that so much. Beautifully
man, thank
put.
You.
Good to hear you, man.
Paul Hutchins, Anthony Williams from beautiful Clearwater, Florida. How are you feeling this morning, brother?
I'm feeling pretty dang good. How about yourself, Anthony?
And I hear it in your voice. You know what? When you just said that, I heard it in your voice. It vibrated to me. I'm telling you, I hear it. And, man, I love the way you came out this morning, Paul. And good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. And I love this. I love this chapter. And I love the subject of this chapter. And I love what everybody has already shared and all the wonderful wisdom that everybody shared. And I just want to add to it. And the thing I want to add to it is that getting into the right business. You know, and when I think about business, I think about what exactly makes a business great. And then I think about Dan Kennedy, which is a marketer, and Lisa Scott shared this. There's laws in business. there's laws in business that you have to learn. And the laws in business are advertising and marketing. And Lisa Scott touched that. And then I go back to E-Myth Revisited. I go back to that. Working in your business as opposed to on your business. And there's a big difference, because when we actually get into business, the thing about it is that we actually may love the concept of business, but we may not love everything that we're doing in the business. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. So working in the business is more so doing the technical things in business. Like, you know, you have to make the donuts. You have to, you know, get a cash register and all this other stuff just to sell the product. But working on the business as opposed to in the business is different. Working on the business is more so the future of the business, looking at, you know, not the concept. Where are we headed? Where are we headed in the future? You know, so there's a big difference. And that's just what I wanted to add with that aspect of getting into the right business and actually making a business successful. So just wanted to add that. Back to you, Paul. Everybody have a blessed day. Back to you, brother.
Awesome. Great thoughts, Anthony.
Super Duper Stan.
Hey, what's up, Super Duper Stan?
Good morning. Good morning, Paul, my brother from the other mother. Hope you're doing Super Duper this morning.
I am.
Super Duper. I tell you, this particular chapter is just incredible. It made me reflect back to my life, you know, start choosing the right business. And I remember back as a child when I was getting ready to go to college and trying to make that decision as to what would I study in college. Well, ever since a little child, I enjoyed drawing. I, you know, enjoyed art. So, hey, it was natural for me to say, hey, well, shoot, I'm going to go to school to develop what I enjoy doing, which is art. And so I ended up becoming an art instructor and all that stuff, and which you know, I wrote down this statement after hearing everybody what we was talking about, and says, having a desire to do something is evident that you have the power to do it. You just need to develop the knowledge and skills, then take action. And so that's what I did, not knowing really, you know, that I was following this principle, but it worked because I ended up developing the skill, becoming an artist, et cetera. But what I really want to bring about now is the fact that, you know, whenever you have a desire for something, okay, that don't mean that that's the only thing that you can have a desire for, because after getting out of school and being introduced to residual income, you know, I like that too. So that became another desire, you know, to develop residual income. So I started seeking and developing and whatever, and that has, you know, those two together, because I was teaching and then developed the residual income until it surpassed my teacher's income, so then I was able to retire. So that in itself is evidence that this desire, when you have a desire for something, you got the power to do it. You just got to develop yourself and take action on it. So just wanted to share that with everybody, that you can definitely have other desires. You don't have to just stick with the first one. You can add two yourself. So back to you, my brother. Everybody have a super duper day.
I love it. And hey, every time I hear someone talking about being financially free, which you are, Super Duper Stan, I want to give you one of these, my friend. All right.
Thank you, brother.
Jesse in New York.
Jesse, go
Gerald
ahead. Gerald gotcha.
In Atlanta.
Okay, we got Jesse and then the gentleman in Atlanta.
Good morning, family. What another great topic. This topic of savings has helped me tremendously put myself in order. But the conversation, totally agree with everyone shares this morning. It was, they're just wonderful, and something that kept jumping out for me and how to really kind of organize my thoughts and express them was, when I am doing something that really gives me joy, I know I'm in the right place. I'm really in the direction of my purpose. And, you know, your question is so wonderful today, Paul, because it's truly a question I think a lot of us, well, many of us may not have in the past ever thought of, but truly, you know, our purpose and what we are looking to do for ourselves and where we need to be are kind of correlated. They're very much connected, I believe. And in order for me to really know that I'm in the right place,
it has to come from within, and you need to be happy. And the best word for me that really resonates and really hits the feeling I have on the head is it giving me joy? Even if maybe certain marketing aspects are what everyone else says they should be doing because they bring in the biggest income for whatever statistic that may be out there. But if what you're doing is what's really giving you joy and you're getting good results from it and that is making it work for you and that gives you that energy to get up in the morning and go back out there and help people and do it in a certain way because it gives you joy and that it's really helping and working, then that's what you need to continue to be doing regardless of what everyone else may say to do. And that's how I'm feeling about it. So that's my share. That's how I'm feeling. And if it's giving you joy, if you're joyous in what you're doing each day, then I think you're following your purpose. So that's it, Paul. Thanks.
Wow. Hey, Jesse, you just helped me quite a bit with that. I appreciate that comment.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Sharon in Los Angeles?
Hey, Sharon, we had a gentleman in Los Angeles, I think, or not Los Angeles, Atlanta. Who is the gentleman in Atlanta right ahead of Sharon?
Yes, Paul. Paul, can
hey,
you hear
good morning.
Me?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. I love you guys. You guys fire me up. You guys fire me up. I'm going to make this really quick, try to articulate this as plainly as I possibly can. You said a huge mouthful. Well, you always do every day, Paul, but you said a huge mouthful when you were talking about maybe, possibly, our definite purpose may be something we discover as opposed to something we assign. And I've been working personally with a type of business model that's a little bit different than what typical brick and mortar businesses do. Instead of, I've got this great product and I'm going to find everybody that I can sell it to, we're going to make a collective and we're going to find out what people want. We're going to find out our ideal customer and solve their problem. And that will be our product. And we will let them tell us what we want to make. And when you said that, that just fell right in line with I've done a lot of things in my life and followed a lot of paths just like everyone else here on the call. But drilling down with this call has helped me drill down to, I simply want to serve. I just want to change lives. I just want to make a difference. I want to make people believe in themselves again. And that is something that I have had to discover. And what the young lady right before me said was finding what makes you happy. And I've found that that's what makes me happy. And in serving others and solving their problems, that has actually led me into my definite purpose and the businesses that I'm in now. And it's a beautiful life to live because it's never the same thing every day. And it's beautiful to know that every day is just an open window of discovery. And it just leads to a great life. I just wanted to share that this morning. You guys have a great one. Love you guys.
So powerful. Tell me your name one more time. Gerald?
Gerald, yes.
Gerald. Gerald, thank you so much for that. Such an inspiration, man. Thank you. Was it Sharon coming out? We have 1 minute left. Sharon, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much. I just wanted to share that I've been struggling to find my purpose for many years, and I spent some time, you know, what is your why that makes you cry and all of that. But while you were in Vegas, I was in Garden Grove, and one of the people that I heard there was Steve Osher, who wrote a book called What Is Your What, which is different than your why. He says your why is more external, and your what is that what was implanted, as you said, from your mentor, what was implanted in your heart. It's for you to discover what that is. So I just thought I'd give that another perspective and something else for people to read if they're looking for that sort of information.
Cool. Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate that so much. Very valuable. All right, guys. Well, listen. It is thus time to begin taking massive action to continue stepping into our better future. So let's go out there, have an awesome day. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for adding so much value to my life and the lives of the hundreds of other people who dial into this call. Appreciate you. We'll see you all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.
Hey there, my friend. This is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.
So if you look.
Bye, everyone.
Have a good one. Go forward. It's almost way back flat. It should go way further.
I appreciate you.
Love everybody.
Bye, bye.
Sorry for no music, guys.
Day, everybody.
Hey, you have a beautiful day, too.
Thank you, Paul.
Really good.
Appreciate
you. Call
Empire. It's all about freedom.
Best
call ever.
Have an amazing day.
The best call ever. Every day is the best call.
Every day.
Thank you, family.
You guys are awesome.
Tomorrow.